Welcome to the LDA Podcast, a series dedicated to improving the lives and education of all learners. Today, we sit down with Tracy Gregg-Wire, the coordinator of LDA's Healthy Children Project, to discuss purchasing safer back-to-school supplies. Everyone, I'm here with Tracy Gregg-Wire, the coordinator of LDA's Healthy Children Project. Today we are talking about how to purchase safer school supplies since school is right around the corner. So Tracy, thank you for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So before we dive in, could you explain a little bit about the Healthy Children Project?
Yeah, so LDA's Healthy Children Project was established in 2002 to raise awareness around toxic chemicals and pollutants that harm brain development. Our Healthy Children Project works to prevent exposure to toxic chemicals that are linked to learning, intellectual, and developmental disabilities, and to protect the health of all families from unnecessary toxic chemicals in our products, in our food, in our water, and our air.
So relating more back to school supplies, can we assume that all products on shelves are safe products?
Unfortunately, no. There are over 80,000 chemicals in commerce today, and sadly, only about 200 have been thoroughly tested for harm, including neurological impacts. Most chemicals were grandfathered in the 1970s under old federal policies. So unfortunately, we cannot at this point assume products on store shelves are safe. It's also true that it's illegal to put a little bit of a chemical in the product, even if it's known to be harmful. So, for example, it might be legal to put a little bit of lead in costume jewelry or in lipstick or in other things that aren't marketed to children, just because things are based on how much of a chemical is in a product. But that doesn't take into account all the different exposures, and sadly, that also doesn't take into account pregnant women's exposure, which is the child's exposure.
So even as research has come out that these are harmful chemicals, just because that they're grandfathered in, they're still able to be marketed?
Right. So it's true that some of these chemicals, like lead, for example, are regulated, but it might be that for lead or for phthalates or flame retardant chemicals, all of these chemicals are linked to neurological harm, so they can harm children's brain health. It may be okay to put a little bit in a product legally, and of course that doesn't take into account like all of our exposures. If you're thinking about lead, for example, it's not just the costume jewelry or the makeup the pregnant mother puts on, but it's also, you know, lead can be found, unfortunately, still in old homes because of lead paint. It's found in lead in drinking water. So even though a chemical might be regulated, it's usually regulated in terms of how much of that chemical can be put into one particular product.
Right, so it doesn't take into account that there are many products that may have lead in them.
Right, exactly. Right, or cumulative exposures, or how lead interacts with, say, mercury and cadmium, or phthalates, which are all chemicals that can harm children's brains.
So school supplies, again, in particular, are there some harmful chemicals that are more common in school supplies, like backpacks or just typical supplies?
There are. I mean, in general, it's hard to say all of the chemicals of concern in back-to-school supplies, because if you pick up a product and look at the packaging, it's not going to list all of the chemicals in it, sadly. We feel like people have a right to know, and that should be easily accessible, but it's just unfortunately not. There are certain things like things that are labeled PVC or that have BPA or phthalates or fragrance in them that are chemicals of concern. So there are ways to kind of look for products that may be safer and have less of these harmful chemicals in them.
So what should consumers look for when they're looking to purchase safer products?
That's a great question. So with back-to-school supplies, because our, whether kids are going back to school in person or, you know, back to school virtually at home, there's a lot of supplies, right, that families need for their kids. And, you know, of course, we all want to be avoiding those chemicals that can, that are linked to learning disabilities or, you know, could potentially harm brain development in our kids. So some things that you can look for, sometimes on packaging, they do say what's not in them. So you can look for PVC-free, BPA-free, phthalate-free, and fragrance-free supplies. So, for example, when you're looking for, generally for school supplies, it's best, if possible, to avoid purchasing anything with PVC or vinyl in them. And unfortunately, a lot of products have vinyl in them. You can sometimes identify these products with a recycling code of the number 3 on them, or they're labeled as PVC or vinyl. You know, PVC or vinyl can be in school backpacks and shoes, and in a lot of different products, even some of your binders, like your glossy binders that have, right, kind of that glossy look to them. There are some safer alternatives, fortunately. I was in a dollar store just today and looking at some of their back-to-school supplies, and they have, like, pencil bags or, you know, those little bags with the zippers in them. You can put pencils and markers and erasers and that sort of thing in. But those pencil holders, they definitely had some that were, like, see-through or looked like they were vinyl or that plastically tight, but they also had two different options, different sizes and shapes and colors of canvas bags, you know, things that look more like a canvas or fabric type, which is the kind I bought today. I try to avoid colored paper clips because they are probably coated with PVC, and stick with the plain metal ones. For lunch boxes, you can try a stainless, water bottles. You can go with a stainless steel bottles or look for ones that say phthalate and BPA free. And for things like markers, you know, looking for ones that say non-toxic and looking for ones that are fragrance-free, because phthalates, which are linked to neurological harm, are a whole class of chemicals, and they're often used in plastics and also as a fragrance in a lot of products.
That's good to know. So you had mentioned that you had found safer alternatives even at the dollar store. So are there about the same amount of safer products, or would you say that they're harder to find sometimes?
Well, the part that makes it hard to find is that, again, companies and manufacturers aren't telling us what's in the product.
Right.
So that's the challenging part. So even some of my friends who are chemists will say, I can't shop my way out of this problem because I don't know what's in the product. And of course, parents and guardians shouldn't have to be chemists to figure out what's safe. So we're working on, you know, pushing companies and also passing policies to ensure more products are safe. But sometimes you can tell by looking for keywords like phthalate-free and BPA-free, or just looking at, you know, what the product is made out of. And sometimes that'll give you a hint.
Okay. And I wanted to step back to something you had said. You had mentioned that some harmful chemicals can be linked to learning disabilities. I was wondering if you could expand on what some of these toxic chemicals can do, what effect they would have on the body.
Right. So we know, like, the science is starting to catch up, and more chemicals are being evaluated and looked at. It's a slow process. But we do know that the National Academy of Sciences states that environmental factors, including chemicals, contribute to about a quarter of these disabilities. And Project Tender, which LDA helped start and is still a part of, is a group of scientists and health advocates and some nonprofits like LDA, kind of looking at the science and looking at the chemicals that are, the classes of chemicals that are most linked to neurological harm. So we know, most people know about heavy metals like lead and mercury and cadmium. Like, pretty much everybody's heard about lead and that there's no safe level of lead. There are other classes of chemicals like phthalates that are used in a lot of plastics. And like I said, often used as a fragrance in a lot of products. If it says fragrance on the label, it's probably a phthalate or some kind of synthetic chemical. much to slow down fires that are toxic, and even the firefighters are standing with us and saying we need to get these classic chemicals out of products so they don't do much to prevent or slow down fires, but they are linked to neurological harm and all sorts of cancers. So certain chemicals affect the thyroid, and the thyroid is really important, or functioning of thyroid is important for brain development, and some just because of the nature of the chemical, like I said, some of these classes of chemicals, studies have just found they might lower kids' IQ, contribute to behavior issues, be linked to learning disabilities. Some of these chemicals are linked to autism. So some of these chemicals like change how children's brains develop, and those changes can have lifelong impacts for the children.
So are there some, I know that you said it's very hard to tell in stores what a product is made of. Do you have any materials that are sort of your go-tos that you know are safe? If a product says that it has this material, you know that you can trust it?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it's things like choosing certain products or types of products that I feel are safer to reduce exposures because, you know, we can only do so much, right, figure out what's in a product. Mm-hmm. Or look certain products up. There are some great resources, like with personal care products, which is not necessarily back to school unless you're talking about hand sanitizers or lotions. But those products are, some of those products, Environmental Working Group has a great website where you can look up certain products, and it will tell you some of the ingredients or some of the chemicals that might be of concern or haven't been thoroughly tested. And there are other companies that are doing a better job with really passing or adopting comprehensive policies and really working with long lists of harmful chemicals and getting them out of their products. So sometimes it's, you know, looking up products through some of these websites, like Environmental Working Group, or going to retailers who are sharing more information about what's in their products so that you can make a more informed decision.
Sure. So back to school is probably going to be looking a lot different for people this year, whether it's remote or whether people are going back to in-person classes. And that probably means a lot more of cleaning supplies. So are there steps that schools can take to ensure that they have a safe environment that does not have harmful chemicals when they're purchasing cleaning supplies or even just school supplies?
Absolutely. So the good news is there's a lot of toolkits, and on our healthychildrenproject.org website, we have a lot of toolkits and information around cleaning and disinfecting and other resources, both for parents and guardians and also for schools. So for school districts who are going to be in person or might be part of the year having kids come in person, you know, cleaning and disinfecting are going to be really critical and very important.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, we know what we need to do in general to protect our kids and our staff, school staff, against the virus. So, you know, starting with the really basic stuff before you even get to cleaning, right? There's the social distancing. Washing your hands for at least 20 seconds has a big impact. Avoiding touching your face, wearing masks, not going to school if somebody's sick. So we know some of this basic stuff that we need to do. It's also true that we need to be doing more thorough cleaning and disinfecting in schools, and even, you know, at home, is right, to protect our families in the home as well. So when we're looking at cleaners and disinfectants, it's first important to note that cleaning a surface is the first step, because if you look at the labels on disinfectants, it will say to clean the surface before you use the disinfectant, because the disinfectant is going to kind of hopefully get rid of some of those germs, but it's not going to clean the surface. And if the surface isn't clean, it's harder to disinfect it. So, you know, sometimes just plain old soap and water, you know, can be used to clean surfaces and get the grime off and get, right, the dirt off first so that your disinfectants can work better. overkill, even in a public setting like a school, that it's more than is needed. So for some of these disinfectants, they have what's called quarts in them, a quaternary, chemicals in them. And those are often used in hospitals and settings where, right, there's really resistant bacteria and viruses, and they're like very heavy-duty disinfectants. And I would definitely discourage schools and parents from using them in any setting, because they're really overkill and not needed and can be really harmful and have a whole list of possible health effects to them. And we've got more information on that on our website. The good news is that there are safer disinfectants that are approved by the Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA, on their, it's called the N list, N is in the letter N, that are approved for, they're believed to be, to do the job in terms of killing the COVID-19 virus. So some of those disinfectants are they're listed on their website. They have, EPA has this whole list, and you can sort the list by active ingredients, which is really helpful. So in terms of safer disinfectants or the key ingredients that you want to look for, isopropyl alcohol, solutions of 70% alcohol is really good on hard surfaces. You clean the surface and then you apply, the disinfectant with the alcohol in it. Leave it on for 30 seconds or more and then wipe it off, because disinfectants need to be usually left on the surface for a period of time. Hydrogen peroxide is another active ingredient. The CDC states that household hydrogen peroxide, 3%, can deactivate the common cold virus, which they've used as a litmus test for COVID-19. And then other products with active ingredients like thymol, lactic acid, and even citric acid are on the EPA's approved list for coronavirus. So it's looking at those safer disinfectants, those key ingredients, and looking for the safer alternatives that are going to still do the job, protect our children and our staff at school, or protect our families at home, but not have like the really overkill chemicals that can have a lot of health effects.
Right, that's really good to know. I feel like a lot of people, that might not be on the forefront of their minds, so that's really helpful to know.
Right, and Women's Voices for the Earth is one of the links we have on our website, and they've got a whole toolkit that's geared towards parents, for parents to share and have that conversation with schools about, what they're using, and even has like a draft letter for as a parent, here's what I'm concerned about in terms of cleaning and disinfectant supplies, and here's some safer alternatives. And, I think the good news is that there are a lot of organizations like Healthy Schools Network and LDA and Women's Voices for the Earth and a bunch of others who are doing this work, kind of educating schools about this. But having a parent, which I've done with my school district, reach out to somebody in the school or even in the superintendent's office and ask them about what kind of cleaning supplies they use and what kind of products they use, and share some of this information, can help, schools make that switch if they're not already using some of the safer options. And we also definitely discourage schools from using like Clorox wipes that have the quads and that are really strong and, again, overkill in a lot of situations. And some of these products, obviously, you should never have kids using those kind of disinfecting wipes on anything. Like, that needs to be a trained professional at school who's doing that cleaning, preferably when the kids are not in the room.
Well, you've given us a lot of great resources. If anybody wants to learn more about the Healthy Children Project or get more news or updates about safer products, where could they go?
Yeah, so our Healthy Children Project program website is healthychildrenproject.org. We also have a Facebook page. You can search for at Healthy Children Project. And on Twitter, we're LDA Healthy Child. So all of those resources are updated on a regular basis. We have a whole schools and coronavirus page of mental health Infernovirus page and a lot of different pages about the work that we're doing and how people can get involved. And people often ask me as a mom, you know, they thank me for the work that I do, and I tell them that we really need people to join LDA and work with us on this issue, because when parents and just any individual, right, starts pushing companies to sell safer products, you know, it really does make a difference when you go into stores and ask them, you know, is this, you know, phthalate free? I can't tell. Or how do you know this product is safe? Or what is your company doing to get some of the worst chemicals out of the products? We've seen, you know, great change happening. So LDA does both policy work at the state and federal level, but we also push and partner with major companies to adopt chemical policies, share resources on how they can ensure their products are safer, and really go above and beyond state and federal guidelines, which sadly are not health protective, are not as health protective as they need to be, to really push companies and manufacturers to kind of take their own steps to ensure products are safer for all families.
That's great. Thank you so much for talking with us about this, again, very relevant topic. School's right around the corner. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for listening to the LDA podcast. Our theme music is Little Idea by Scott Holmes. This series was made possible by the Learning Disabilities Foundation of America. For more information from LDA, visit ldaamerica.org.